Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches, visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Ravens' offensive line is starting to take shape coming out of the draft. First-round pick Venga Ioane will slot right in as the new left guard, while previous free agency addition John Simpson projects to be the starter on the other side. What does this mean for 2025 draft pick Emory Jones? He had eventual starting aspirations and upside as a third-round selection, but an injury stunted his development as a rookie. Here's Eric DaCosta speaking on the organization's view on Jones.
We think he's a talented guy, great mentality, great makeup. He's going to compete. He'll compete to start. We're going to have a great sixth man. I don't know who that sixth man is going to be, but whoever it is, if you come out of it with this group, you're going to be really talented. You're going to be really good. So I like the depth that we have right now. We still have some moves to make.
Meanwhile, in NBA playoff action, the Thunder became the first team to punch a ticket to the next round by beating the Suns 131-122 last night. As usual, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the way with 31 points, while Chet Holmgren added 24. They'll await the winner of Lakers versus Rockets, which could end as soon as tomorrow night with LA holding a 3-1 advantage. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the Big Spin Scratch-Offs from the Maryland Lottery. You could win up to $50,000 instantly. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, cloudy skies with temps around 60 all afternoon. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles, 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, through college, I enjoyed watching Dallas Goedert. He was kind of someone who I emulated a bit just with his body type, the way that he plays. I've been with a lot of tight ends who are playing at a high level now. Like, I played with Colson Loveland, Luke Schoonmaker. Love watching them play. And, you know, Mark Andrews has been around forever. I've watched him for as long as I can remember.
And making Mark Andrews sound old one of the two tight ends the Ravens drafted last week, Matthew Hibner out of SMU. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. So let's talk about Vinny, one of the Ravens' fourth-round draft picks, their second one, as a matter of fact, Matthew Hibner.
Yeah, Matthew Hibner, SMU. Now, Bob, combine numbers, everything, phenomenal. 6.042, 251 pounds, ran 4.57 in the 40, 1.61, 10. He's got 32 3/8 arms, 9 3/8 hand. Senior, jersey 88, he's 24 years old. 37-inch vertical, which is great. 9.8 broad jump, excellent. 28 reps, 2.25, which is awesome. Now, 2020 at Michigan, redshirted. 2021 at Michigan, played in 8 games as a reserve. 2022, Michigan. Played in 13 games as a reserve. He was on special teams all these years. He had two catches for 15 yards in 22. 2023, played in Michigan. Played in seven games as a reserve. 2024, he went to SMU. Played in all 14 games, eight starts, 24 catches, 368, 15.3 average, four touchdowns. 2025, honorable mention, all ACC, 12 starts. 31 catches, 426, 14.1 average, four touchdowns. Now, his strengths, size, athleticism, speed. He shows speed to get down the middle. He'll go up and get the ball. He can adjust to high and behind. He's a competitive guy, good hands, smart, good line awareness, good adjust to behind, position blocker, lines up everywhere, good on special teams. Weakness, needs more strength, not much of a yak guy. We'll need work running routes, creating separation. One speed guy, six-year college career. Summary, Matthew will contribute right away early on special teams. He has good athletic numbers, but will need work on route tree and not explosive or quick in and out of breaks. Not much of a yak guy. He lines up all over the field. Will need work on blocking consistently. He lunges too much blocking. So, I mean, when I watched, he doesn't play because those athletic numbers that he's got, Bob, are awesome. But he doesn't play to that. Plays one speed, doesn't show a burst. So I'm looking forward to seeing him when we're out there at OTAs, because just watch him on film. He can line up everywhere, can play on special teams. He can run down the middle of the field, but he's not a yak guy at all.
Is he a better blocker slash receiver than Kolar was?
Kolar coming in was not a blocker.
He got better.
Yes, he got better because he was a position blocker. Kolar, this kid's got better down the field speed than Kolar did. You know, and Kolar was a long stride. He was 6'7". He was a long striding guy. I didn't think he created. He could. For his athletic numbers, you know, I mean, his athletic numbers are better than Likely's, but Likely was so explosive in and out of cuts, you know, and Likely, yak, was unbelievable because you couldn't tackle him. Now, this guy doesn't have much yak. Bob, I wasn't blown away with him. And when we talk about our next tight end, Quavis, I mean, every time the Ravens have taken two tight ends, the second guy's been the best one.
Yeah, Dixon Pitta, Andrews, Hayden Hurst.
Yeah.
But so was he a reach at four?
Well, they traded up for him, Bob.
Yeah.
They gave up a fourth and they gave up a fifth and whatever.
What's the Jesse Minter influence maybe?
Yeah, he was with Jesse. You know, maybe I don't know, because he does nothing that wow. You know, I mean, when we talk about the running back and Quavis, got a little juice to him. You know, I really like those picks. With this one, you know, I mean, he was at Michigan for 4 years and hardly ever saw an offensive snap.
Right.
But like he mentioned, the guys he, Loveland and some of those guys he played behind, but when Loveland missed time, you know, so I don't know. I mean, If he could play to his athletic numbers, and maybe if they could get that out of him, then they may have something.
Maybe Declan Doyle is the right man for the job.
Yep.
In that area. But that's Matthew Hibner. Ravens did take another tight end, Josh Quavis. We'll talk about him later in the show. And then we're going to talk Adam Randall, running back out of Clemson, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. When we return, however, here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, it's Vinny and Haney, Nolan McGraw. Whip around. What happened in the world of sports last night? Got the NBA playoffs. Number one seed in the East is in big trouble. Detroit Pistons, that is. Stanley Cup playoffs. Penguins just don't want to go home. They don't want to go home. They want to stick around, play a little bit longer. And then this day in Orioles history, one pretty cool thing. And 10 years ago today was the NFL draft. Get your thinking caps on. Think about who the number one overall pick was. That's 2016. And who the Ravens took in the first round.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Orioles start a series against the Houston Astros. Is this the week they get a win streak going? We'll ask Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBC crew, Mike Bordick, if they can get going offensively and pitching-wise. And we continue to ask people their opinion of the Ravens draft. NFL.com draft expert Chad Ryder joins the show.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Savings are raining down at Bel Air Hyundai, part of Jones Junction. Go see Kevin Brammer, the sales director, and get you a great sales experience. Now, you can save with 0% 60-month financing on 2026 Tucson's or drive a new Santa Fe, Elantra, or Sonata with 0.99% 60-month financing and make no payments till July 2026 on every new Hyundai. Now, we got banks on site for instant credit approval. Kevin is going to give you $500 more than CarMax for your trade. Get America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, owner assurance, plus get your Jones for a lifetime, which includes free oil changes, free car washes, and an engine guaranteed for a lifetime. With over 2 million likes and reviews, you too. You can and you will be a satisfied customer. How do I know? Over the years, I bought 17 cars from Jones, and I've been in every department. Sales, service, parts, collision. You know, I got Mike over there in the service department. He does a spectacular job over in Jeep. And then Ed Zimmerman in the collision center. When you've had 17 cars, you've had to go to the collision center some. And I've been there, and Ed is spectacular. Savings are raining down at Bel Air Hyundai, part of Jones Junction. 1504 Bel Air Road, only 15 minutes from the White Marsh Mall. See that great selection at BelAirHyundai.com and get you a Jones Junction tag frame just like me, my wife, Vincent, Charlie, and Rachel.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game, everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Serato, Nola McGraw. Other side of the glass, Philadelphia Phillies have fired manager Rob Thompson, Athletic. First to break the story, Philadelphia 9-19, tied with the Mets for the worst record in Major League Baseball. Their manager, Carlos Mendoza, he's on the hot seat, the team that's in Baltimore this week. Houston 11-18, Joe Espada could possibly be on the hot seat as well. But as we said earlier in the show, we're not even through the month of April, and two managers are gone, and two others appear to be in a very dire situations with their respective teams here. So Philadelphia, I thought they were going to win in the division.
Yeah.
And they still may. Who knows? Don Mattingly, by the way, will take over on an interim basis. But not where you wanted to be, for sure. And the Mets, with the gigantic payroll that they have, Astros, that great run of success they had for many, many years, they've kind of fallen back a lot. So, it's a volatile business, that managerial life in Major League Baseball. So Rob Thompson out in Philly. And then Don Mattingly, who was manager in L.A., manager in, with the Marlins, was with Toronto last year. He still hasn't won a world championship. As a player, the Yankees never made it to the World Series when he was an active player. Because last year they lost to Seattle in that crazy divisional round, 95. And then he came, they were a couple outs away from winning it last year, getting his first ring. But Don Mattingly now will take over in Philadelphia, and we'll see what he can do to get that team together, because they've been underachieving in a lot of areas.
Ooh, big time.
Obviously, so far. So Rob Thompson is out there. That's your breaking baseball news. NBA playoffs. Well, first we'll start with the Rookie of the Year. Cooper Flagg wins it. Close vote over his college buddy, Konkanapple, in Charlotte. Flag averaged 21.6, 0.7 boards, 4.5 assists. Scored over 45 points 5 times. Be crazy stuff. Now, Dallas as a team, Kyrie Irving didn't play. They traded Anthony Davis to the Wizards because he was barely playing when he did get an opportunity to do so. So, Cooper Flagg, One of these transcendent talent kind of guys. He wins the award. Colin Knepel had a great rookie season for the Hornets. Kind of cooled off a little bit down the stretch. Definitely in the postseason. He averaged 18.5, 5.3, 3.4. VJ Edgecombe, Sixers out of Baylor. He finished third. Derek Queen, if you go back to December, he's probably in the top three or five voting-wise. Did not register in the top five because once Zion Williamson got healthy, Queen and Williamson couldn't really coexist on the court at the same time. And Derek Queen's numbers dipped. Defensively, maybe was struggling a little bit there. But still, overall, I would view his rookie season as a success. But Cooper Flagg, well, there's one. You were a stud coming out of high school. Number one player. Took your team to the Final Four. You were the number one pick. Won Rookie of the Year. Can't go down. Now you got to keep hitting these benchmarks that people expect from dudes like you, unlike Zion Williamson, as a matter of fact. In the playoffs last night, speaking of number one, Detroit number one in the East, they lose to the Magic, 94-88. Desmond Bain had 22 points there. Wendell Carter, another Dookie, he had 12 and 11. As Detroit's up against it, the number one seed in the East, 60-win team. Orlando won in the 40s. And here they are. They got the Pistons on the ropes. Kevin Huerter, former Terp, no points in a couple of minutes played for the Detroit Pistons. So they, we got a possible upset going on here. The only time in NBA history, and I saw it on ESPN, that an 8th seed was up 3-1 and blew the lead was the 2003 Orlando Magic, who lost to the Detroit Pistons. Whoa. So can history repeat itself elsewhere? Oklahoma City, defending champions, they finished off Phoenix 131-122. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 31. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, he helped too. His minutes have kind of been in the 10 to 11 range. It seems like he's falling out of the rotation a little bit with the Thunder, but either way, he's got a ring and they're, you know, a step further to make it in two in a row. So they sweep. Denver beat Minnesota 125-113. T-Wolves without Anthony Edwards, probably, if they get by the series, he would probably miss the second round. So Ant-Man going down, not good for the T-Wolves, who were up 3-1, but the Joker had a triple-double. Minnesota still leads the series 3-2. Tonight, Boston looking to close out Philly at home. Atlanta's at Madison Square Garden. That series is tied to 2 games apiece. And then Portland's at San Antonio. Blazers are down 3-1. They're trying to stay alive. So, I'm guessing both Boston and San Antonio will handle their business tonight. And then if Atlanta beats New York, that'll be an interesting thing if it goes back to Atlanta with the Knicks down 3-2. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Pittsburgh staying alive over Philadelphia as they win 3-2. After being down 0-3, they're now back in the series at 3-2. So what the hell is turned around in this one here?
Well, they've gotten good goaltending, you know, and Crosby had 2 assists last night. And he's playing well, Bob, when it counts, when they were down 3-0. Now it's 3-2. They go back to Philly. All the pressure's on the Flyers now back in Philadelphia. Because if Pittsburgh can win that and go back to Pittsburgh to a Game 7, I don't know. You know, Philly's a young team. We're going to see how they react after dropping 2 in a row.
Now, elsewhere last night, we had overtime fun. Yep. And Stanley Cup overtime hockey is always fun, unless you were Utah.
Down deep for Dowd. Melka reached out on his glove. Racking for the defense. We're going back to chase. But Melka able to keep that one aside. But Melka's lost the stick now. Eichel's had a shot and a score! Shai Theodore scores in overtime for Vegas!
ESPN on the call. 5-4. Final score in overtime. That series, Vinny, now tied at 2 games apiece.
Yeah, so that was a big win. I mean, Vegas was up 3-0, Bob, early on. Then Utah came back, tied it, and like you said, Theodore scored to win it in overtime, which was big because then Vegas splits. So they split both games. Now they go back for game five. They go back to Vegas for game five, which will be, you know, a good one there. The Sabres tonight. Sabres are trying to close it out tonight in at home against the Bruins. They're up 3-1. Wild and Stars 2-2. That's a hell of a series, too. Back in Dallas tonight. And then Edmonton and the Ducks. Ducks can close it out tonight in Edmonton, up 3-1.
It's the Whip Around Video at Handy 105.7 The Fan. This day in sports history. Today is the 28th of April. 10 years ago tonight in Chicago, Jared Goff was the number one overall pick in the draft by the Los Angeles Rams. Carson Wentz went number two to the Philadelphia Eagles. Ravens, with the sixth pick overall, took Ronnie Stanley. Can you believe that Ronnie Stanley's going into his 11th year in the league? I mean, it's insanity. Oh, and by the way, the 45th pick that year was Nolan Bueller. Anyone?
No idea.
Derrick Henry.
Oh.
There we go. I've got to tie it back into some sort of local angle. Derrick Henry, 45th pick in the league. So the Ravens got their starting left tackle, and now they're Pro Bowl running. But when they didn't get him, they got to be a, you know, other means a couple years ago. But Jared Goff, he's had a nice career for a number one pick.
Yes, he has.
I mean, is he John Elway? No. But he's, you know, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's been in the playoffs multiple times. He's cashed multiple hefty paychecks.
That he has.
And he's with a team that's expected to be good this year, the Detroit Lions. Now, and it all worked out. I mean, the Rams traded him for Stafford, and that's one of them trades, Vinny, as they say, they're benefit. Both teams won.
Yeah.
In the end.
Because Detroit got a lot of value with their draft picks, and they made do with their picks, too. Yeah, so both teams ended up playing extremely well.
Speaking of draft picks, we're going to go around the AFC North when we come back. We've talked about the Ravens draft. We'll continue to do so as the show progresses, but we're going to Pittsburgh with Brian Batko, Joe Reedy, Cincinnati, Emmett Golden, and Cleveland. How did those teams do over the draft? Cincinnati didn't have a first-round pick, but they traded for Dexter Lawrence. That's pretty good.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan.
There's no question your home can sell on your timeline. You just need to hire my buddy Lee Tessier. Now, Lee guarantees he can get the job done. Now, if he can't find you a buyer at a price and a deadline you agreed to beforehand, he'll buy your home himself. He's that confidence because his marketing system finds buyers for all of his clients, like Judy. Judy was ready to retire to Delaware, needed to sell her condo in Forest Hill to be able to move. And like all home sellers, she wanted to see her home for the most money possible. And that's why she worked with Lee. Now, Lee and his team, they didn't just list her home. They positioned it. It only took them 3 days to get Judy multiple offers, find a buyer who was willing to pay $10,000 over the asking price. Judy couldn't be any happier. So do Judy and call the only agent. So do like Judy did and call the only agent I'd call if I had to sell my home. And that man's my good buddy, Lee Tessier. Just give him a call at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That's 410-638-9555. Or find listings at LeeTessier.com. When you call Lee, oh, man, just start packing.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on a scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
Colton Cowser continues to struggle at the plate this year with a 200 batting average and 20 strikeouts in 55 at-bats. As a result, his play time is starting to decrease. He was absent from the starting lineup for all three games against Boston, but did make two pinch hitting appearances. It's not the first time this year he's been left on the bench, though, even against right-handed pitching, which has led some to ask Mike Elias if the team would ever consider sending Cowser down to AAA.
I wouldn't say anything like that. I mean, you know, he's frustrated. You know, right now he's helping us, and we need him on the team. So I think we're too early to judge individual performances in a positive or negative direction too severely at this point in the calendar.
The O's will start up a three-game series with the Astros this evening. Shane Baz is scheduled to start for Baltimore, while Houston will go with an opener in Kaiwei Tang. First pitch at 6:35. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, cloudy skies with temps around 60 all afternoon. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bengals, Browns, Steelers, and Ravens. Vinny and Haney's Notes from the North.
All right, the draft over. National Football League 2026. Next year it's down in D.C. We'll get into that territory. And the appropriate time, let's look back at what the other teams in the AFC North did. Remember, all guests are brought to you by the Window Nation Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of glass. Let's talk about what the Pittsburgh Steelers did as we started off. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's welcome back to the show Brian Batko. Brian, always great to hear from you. And draft weekend for the Steelers, how's it being received by the media and, I guess, most importantly, by the fan base right now?
I'd say some very polarizing picks, guys. Unexpected would be the word I would use to sum up their draft, starting with using a first-round pick on an offensive tackle for the third time in 4 years. They're almost reaching Detroit Lions wide receivers of the early 2000s level of investment in that position. So, I think that fans are kind of starting to talk themselves into it a little bit, as they tend to do. But, there were some unconventional picks made by Omar Khan and Mike McCarthy for sure.
Now, Brian, what about the talk that they were going to take Lemon, you know, and then Philly jumped up in front of them and took him? Was that true?
Yeah, I mean, we saw the draft phone call that Lemon had Omar Khan on with him, and I think that was pretty bad optics for the Steelers, Vinny. I mean, you'd probably know better than me.
That'd been embarrassing.
In that seat.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, I talked to a scout, I talked to an agent, basically, like, how does this happen? And they both said it's kind of poor form to jump the gun that way, mm-hmm. unless you're 100% sure. And there was even it was even put to me by someone, like, that might have tipped off Mekhi Lemon's agent to say, let me do my agenting and I'm going to go tell other teams, if you want my guy, you better trade up right here to number 20. And that's exactly what Howie Roseman did.
Now, what about the pick of Drew Aller? That was interesting.
Interesting is one word for it. And I don't think a lot of the fan base loves it for a number of reasons. I mean, you might think that everyone would be on board because of this being Pittsburgh and him being a Penn State guy, but well, you've got a lot of Pitt fans who are grown, you know, born and raised to dislike the Nittany Lions, but you've also got a lot of Penn State fans who, frankly, were disappointed by Aller over the years and felt like he underachieved as the quarterback of their college team. And now he's coming to their pro team. And I just thought 76 overall with their first of three third round picks was a little bit rich for someone who struggled in big games in college. And a lot of the people here have fallen in love with Will Howard, who was a sixth rounder last year. Well, now those two are going to be competing for what exactly? We don't know. QB2, QB3, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers? So it'll be fascinating to see how that all plays out.
Now, Brian, I broadcast from there Thursday. We were at PNC Park. The atmosphere in the city, it was spectacular. What was your opinion for being there for 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, like, everyone asks me that, but I was over at the Steelers facility, which is on the south side. So for the most part, my exposure to the actual draft stage and all of those festivities came from talking to people who were there and then, you know, driving over it on my way to and from work at Steelers HQ. But it honestly does seem like it went off great, that the city did a fantastic job. And I mean, I just think that's cool in and of itself that you guys and other radio stations were set up at PNC Park. It seems like a great use of all the stuff that they have on the North Shore, because you can only cram so much into that area right around Acrisure Stadium. And it seems like the Steelers, I know all along, guys, had the vision of, we're going to host the draft, we're going to make the stadium the hub, but it's going to spill over, was the phrase that they kept using, down to downtown Pittsburgh, the point by the rivers. And it seems like all of that was absolutely executed well.
Hey, were Pitt fans cool with the Kenny Pickett pick? Anyway, he's Brian Backup, covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon. Let's go to Cincinnati, and he's with the Associated Press. Talk about the Bengals hero video to Haiti. He's Joe Reedy, and Joe, as always, appreciate the time. Now, Cincinnati did not have a first-round pick because of the blockbuster trade with the Giants and Dexter Lawrence. So, first of all, how was that trade received? And, you know, what did Cincinnati do outside of the draft to really upgrade a defense that's been kind of maligned, not just in Cincinnati, but throughout NFL circles here?
Yeah, I think everybody was shocked because it was a very un-Bengal-like move to make a blockbuster trade like that. It was the first time since 1989 that the Bengals didn't have a first-round pick. But when you kind of see the draft and their needs and where they were lining up at 10, they were in no man's land. So you get an established veteran like Dexter Lawrence. You made some moves in the draft where you got Jonathan Allen to help out Boyd Maffei. So you've got three pretty good pass rushers now. And if Shamar Stewart can bounce back after a disappointing rookie season last year, it really lives up to Al Golden's, what he wants to do to bring pass rushers in waves. So they've got the pass rushers now. They added some depth in certain places in the draft, upgraded, you know, made a move in the secondary with Takario Davis in the third round, added another pass rusher with Cassius Howell in the second. And then kind of filled some offensive depth needs on day three. So I think when you look at the class, not flashy, but I think pretty solid for what they needed to do.
Now, the thing with Howell, are they comfortable with his little short arms that he's got?
Yeah, I think with what you see with how he's able to rush the passer and the versatility and edge and maybe playing linebacker, they're pretty happy that way and with his physicality. So they're hoping, knock on wood, that this Texas A&M draft pick with their first pick has a better rookie year than last year, which I don't think Hal will hold out or anything during the rookie mini camp or anything like Stewart did last year. So he should have a much better adjustment period than Stewart did last year.
Now, Joe, with Connor Lew in the fourth, do they expect to get anything out of him this year? Will he be a redshirt year after the ACL surgery?
Mostly redshirt. I think maybe second half of the year, try to see what he can do. This was mainly a move to address the future because Ted Karras is in the final year of his contract. And then, you know, you also got Brian Parker in the sixth round who has the versatility to play all five positions. So, you know, depending with injuries or what might happen to Karras, you've got some versatility to back you up with Parker.
So is everybody feeling like that the defense is good enough to win the AFC North now?
I think good enough to contend. I think, and hopefully, if Joe Burrow's happy, healthy and happy, that would go a long way too. Because I think, as everybody noted, Joe is in his seventh season, and you know, everybody's wondering how much longer he has patience for a team that hasn't made the playoffs the past 3 years. And, you know, Carson Palmer was in his seventh season as a starter, eighth year overall, when that honeymoon took a turn due south, too. So, you know, time's kind of running out for them to get things going. But I think with Lawrence and also Trey Hendrickson with Baltimore, you kind of see the offensive lines with these other teams. Both should be able to feast on AFC North offensive lines here.
Joe, real quick, if I'd have said to you a year ago that Zach Taylor would be the longest tenured coach in the AFC North, you would have said what to me?
You're crazy.
Yeah, I know. Joe Reedy from the Associated Press. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. Let's go to Cleveland, ESPN Radio. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Talk about the Browns draft. Let's go get our buddy Emmett Golden. Emmett, thanks for joining us as always. And last year's Cleveland draft, especially in the first three, four rounds, was awesome. On paper, how are we receiving what you guys did here last weekend?
Oh, everybody is feeling great about what they were able to do, especially in the first two rounds. You know, you walk away with four players who all had, you know, first round grades on them. And also, they're in areas that needed to be addressed. So, you know, if you're Andrew Berry and you're coming off what you did last year where you drafted the Defensive Rookie of the Year and Harold Fannin, and you're feeling good, he kept the momentum going this season in this year's draft.
Now, are they going to play Fanoe at left tackle? You know, because he's a right tackle, got shorter arms, Will Campbell style, you know, so, but he's was the most athletic lineman in the draft.
Yeah, so it sounds like day one, he's going to start at left tackle. They talked about the fact that he started at left tackle out of Utah and then moved to be a good teammate. So they feel very confident that he could play left tackle, and I think that's where you're going to see him line up day one. It's essentially his job to lose, but they're very confident that they drafted their left tackle of the future at Spencer Fano.
Would they have taken Fano at six if they weren't able to trade back with Kansas City?
I think if Carnell Tate was on the board, no, I don't think so. But the fact that Tate was off the board, I think that kind of opened some things up. And they would have taken, I think Fano was in consideration there, but I don't think he was at the top of the list once the Chiefs came up and they thought, all right, we got three players that we like. If we trade back to nine, we'll still get one of them. And they got the top offensive lineman on their board.
Now, with Warren, getting him, you know, late two, you know, where he was projected, you know, a lot of mock drafts in the first. I know my buddy Rudy, the coordinator, was ecstatic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. You know, and this it's a safety position that already has Grant Delpit. Ronnie Hickman was an undrafted free agent that's actually done pretty well back there, but they did need some depth and a playmaker. You know, as good as the safety play has been, just not a lot of interceptions or turnovers. And I think McNeil Warren can do that. He loves to hit, and that size, guys. Sorry, you know, when you play. Yeah. When you play in the NFL, if you have size, that's going to help out a lot, especially, you know, with these big receivers out here and big tight ends and things of that nature. So I thought this was probably my favorite pick. I love MAC guys being here in Northeast Ohio, a lot of MAC schools around me. So I was happy to see them get EMW.
Emmett, last thing for you, post-draft, who's number one on the quarterback depth chart as we sit here at the end of April?
It's got to be Shedeur Sanders. There will be a competition between he and Deshaun Watson. I don't see the benefit of playing Watson outside of if Shedeur just does not play well, you know, at all. I think that's the only way that you see Watson. But I think right now, today, Shedeur is the guy that gets the first reps. And we'll see what happens throughout mini camp and training camp when it starts.
Emmett Golden, ESPN, covers Cleveland Browns. Emmett, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
Thanks, Emmett.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Emmett Golden, everybody. Is the problem with Watson is it's he sucks or they just don't like him?
Probably a combination, maybe.
We'll come back. Nolan McGraw is going to be joining us. News from the Nest, and I'm at top of the hour. Going to hear from some of the Ravens draft picks. Going to hear more from Eric DaCosta, Jesse Minter, buy or sell, and turn up some money, hopefully there. Talk about sports subjects of the day. And Kevin Allstriker, he's always filled with positivity. USA Today, Ravens Wire, he's coming up around 12:30. AL East Report in the 1 o'clock hour. Orioles Astros coming up at 6:35. Phillies have removed Rob Thompson of his duties as manager, but Don Mattingly wasn't the first choice to replace him.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Orioles start a series against the Houston Astros. Is this the week they get a win streak going? We'll ask Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBC crew, Mike Bordick, if they can get going offensively and pitching-wise. And we continue to ask people their opinion of the Ravens draft. NFL.com draft expert Chad Ryder joins the show.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
You just knew it couldn't be that easy, didn't you? George Pickens is in no rush to sign his franchise tag with the Cowboys, apparently, despite reports over the weekend that he would. And honestly, who's surprised? The incredibly talented yet wildly mercurial wide receiver is going to do everything he can to force Dallas's hand this summer. And I don't think I'd be the only person totally unsurprised if this ends with Pickens playing somewhere else this year. I'm Chris Mack.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it is refreshing!
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn It Up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Got news from the Nest, top of the hour. Count some dough, hopefully around 12:15 by yourself. Kevin Allstriker, talk Ravens, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Got another draft profile coming your way. Talk about the other tight end the Ravens selected. 26, Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic. Have some NFL lunch with us. American League East Report at 1:15. And then another draft profile as we go running back out of Clemson. A converted wide receiver who was the personal favorite of Steve Bisciotti. Orioles taking on the Astros tonight. Oriole Park Cannon Yards. Houston, last place in the West. 3-10 on the road. Highest earned run average in baseball. And that's not a good thing. But the Orioles, they just dropped two in a row to a team that fired their manager. Shane Baz still looking for his first win of the year Let's bring old Quick Draw McGraw in. Nolan, how you feeling today?
Feeling all right. Offense has got to get going, though. Got to finally get past this. I know we got a lot of issues with this team. Some aren't fixable. Some are just going to be there the entire season. But one thing that is fixable, one thing that should be very, very, very much better is the run production, is this lineup overall. I need the big hitters to start producing. And honestly, I'm starting to have some questions here. Well, not starting to have questions. I'm starting to have serious, serious doubts about long-term future, long-term viability for someone like Holton Kauser. Bob, you've been on this train for a very long time. I'm sitting right next to you now. I have very, very low confidence that this is ever going to get turned around at this point. Mike Elias was actually even asked last week, the Friday press conference, would you consider sending Holton Kauser down to the minors? Didn't go that far. You know, wasn't going to sugarcoat it. Said it could be better, but said that he's still necessary. But here's where I would kind of raise an eyebrow, is the fact that he's been left out of the lineup a lot over the past couple weeks.
He didn't start at all against Boston.
Right. And all right, two lefties Saturday and Sunday, but it was a righty on Friday. And you go back to a lot of his missed time or absences from the lineup previously that week. He's missed at least a game or two in the Royal Series. Right-handed starters. You know, it hasn't always been a lefty, a matchup type thing that's been the reason for him not being in the lineup. So to me, it's performance-based. And then the fact that you're not even going to entertain having him take a shot off a lefty is very telling as well. We look at his career to this point. I got 12 months here, as I see it, 12, you know, complete months, or at least that he played a majority of those months in his career. Only five here, he has finished the month batting 230 or better. Again, it's a basic stat there, batting average, but still, he has way, way, way too many prolonged slumps, right? Month-long periods where he can't even hit 200. Forget 230 or 250 or better. He can't even hit his weight sometimes. So this has got to give at some point. And defense can only get you so far. I don't think he's otherworldly in center field. He's better than some of their other options, not named Tavares. But that alone can't be the reason that you're here.
His offensive numbers have plummeted since the end of 24. And he got hurt first series of the year last year in Toronto. Remember, he slid head first, broke his thumb, he's out for a couple months. And even last year, .96, 14 doubles, 16 homers, all right, 128 Ks, which was, all right, whatever. Struck out 172 times a year. He probably could have or should have won Rookie of the Year. Slugging percentage, .385. I mean, this year, he has two extra base hits. He has two doubles. Now, I know he has a couple of knocks in his last couple of at-bats, but three ribbies, 20 strikeouts, six walks. I mean, we can dissect till we're blue in the face. No stolen bases.
No.
I mean, slugging percentage is .236. That's a bad batting average. Slugging percentage his rookie year was .447. His OPS was pushing, you know, .770, which, you know, doesn't put you in the All-Star game, but, you know, you're a competitive bat. I mean, and as we've said with Bradfield, for instance, who's never saw a major league pitch, if your other thumpers are providing what they're supposed to provide, you can get by with a slappy, if you will. The problem with Kauser, he's not supposed to be a slappy. He's supposed to be one of your thumpers. He's supposed to be a middle of the lineup run producing guy, which we've seen. Now it's, remember Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
When Ferris, and I can't remember his girlfriend's name, and Cameron at the Cubs game, and they're heckling the hitter. He can't hit, he can't hit, he can't hit. He's that guy right now. And it's unfortunate because there is a skill set that led him to be the fifth overall pick in the draft, and a guy, again, who was a starter for a playoff team and a Gold Glove finalist,
yeah,
no less.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Right now, he looks like Chris Davis when he was in the deep, deep despair of being unable to handle major league pitching. And he, at least he had the shift getting him out of there.
Why did they take a Gold Glove left fielder and think that he can be a center fielder? You know, I mean, you're taking a guy that's a star and then putting him somewhere that he's not familiar with.
Yeah, well, it was necessity.
I know,
for
but
a while. I mean, we didn't know Tavares was going to be this good,
right?
But that now creates this situation where, you know, Elias says it's not time to push him to the minors, but what would it take? That's my question. Like, how much more of this do you need to see before you say, all right, something does need to be done?
They have three righties pitching against them, Houston. If he's not in the starting lineup for any of those games, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, right now, I'm not crazy about Beavers in center.
No.
But between him being healthy and Tavares both hitting and being healthy and a great defensive player, now's the time to give it a shot. I mean, if you were severely banged up, I understand keeping him here, but you actually have decent enough health fortunes, at least for center field. Send him down. Let's try to get this right.
And the quandary they're in, too, Ward's not... He's not Barry Bonds in left field. Let's be honest.
No.
But he's hitting, and he's not hitting a ton of home runs, but he leads the league in doubles, his slugging percentage. He's been acceptable at the plate. Basayo's starting to rake. So, because you go, all right, let's play Tavares at center, Kowser in left, DH, Ward. So who's pining it, Adley or Basayo? I mean, who's in right field, Beavers or Muscles? I mean, somebody's got to ride the bench for a guy with a .238 slugging percentage right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a good problem to have if you're Albernaz. I don't think there's nothing about his lineup or, well, you know, whoever's making the lineup. I haven't had an issue with the DH stuff, like splitting time. I think they've done a pretty good job keeping everybody at least somewhat fresh in there.
But if you want your supreme outfield defense, somebody's leaving the outfield. And I would put Kowser in left and take Ward out of it.
Yep.
Which means his bat's got to stay at the expense of either.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
It's gone!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.